Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC. Welcome into our Cubs Talk podcast, brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust, home of Cubs checking in that really sweet WATM card. I'm David Kaplan. To my left is Luke Stuckmeyer. To my right is Kelly Krull. You got three avowed Cubs fans. You're in the dugout and on the field. Luke and I are around the team, and we host and we talk about it. So let's dive right into the Brewer series is in the rearview mirror. Kelly, I'll start with you. Where are you with this team now with just over 20 games to go?
Well, I thought you saw a team, at least I did, from a vibe standpoint in that clubhouse after losing the first two of that series to the Brewers. The first one harder to swallow than the second one. I mean, the second one was a blowout. I watched this team come back and tell you game three. Yeah, it'd be nice to leave here four games up versus two games, but it is not the end of the world, and we are not panicking. And I felt this vibe of a team that very much felt like we have done this year in and year out. We watched Jose Quintana walk out there in what he knew was a big game against a team he has dominated before and put together a really gutsy performance. There were some sticky situations that he got out of that could have quickly gone bad. And so we saw a really good outing from him that they needed, and now they go into a really interesting series with the Nationals only because they're facing Strasburg and Scherzer in the midst of game, 17 now in a row, 18 in a row. But the only thing I'm thinking to myself as I watch is I think they're playing good baseball. I didn't like the defense in game two. Sloppy defense is going to kill them every time, but you rarely see that from this team. So I think that's an anomaly. I feel like the offense, it's coming along. I think Chris Bryant is right on the edge. I took that away from the series. I thought after game three, we saw him barrel up a couple hard hit balls just right at guys. And so I think that's a good thing to see for Cubs fans is KB. I think Rizzo's got to just stay healthy. The guy can't keep fouling balls off his feet. And if Schwarber's back doesn't tighten up, they stay healthy. The only thing you worry about right now is the bullpen.
And by the way, Quintana was like a four-wheel drive Mercedes. He was very good over tough terrain. Luke?
I just think, you know, certainly he'd rather be up four games, so that last game was nice to have. Mm-hmm. I almost thought the third game was bigger for the Brewers, though, because I believe that while the Cubs have that confidence that Kelly's talking about, they've done it before, I feel like the Brewers have felt like they could beat everybody, but Big Brother just down the road has always been a problem for them. And if they would have had that sweep, the confidence might have started to creep into them a little bit. You don't ever want to stoke that fire with a sweep late in the season for a team that's trying to overtake you. So I think it was actually bigger that the Brewers didn't get the third game than it was that the Cubs were able to hold on and get the fourth.
Well said. I'd also like someone to explain to me Christian Yelich could have the nerve to say to his manager, "Hey, man, I need a day. Crazy. But I'm okay to pinch hit for you in the ninth, and I'll be able to play on Friday when it's only the biggest game of the season to date."
Well, that was a name that a lot of people were talking about in the offseason. It was like, oh, man, maybe the Cubs should have gone after him. Good player, but I don't like to hear that. That's
horrible.
A huge red flag for me when you know you're paying some guy some money and he's been good, but why wouldn't he want to play in that series of all series?
What did Rizzo do? The night before, he went and got x-rays, and then while you guys were all talking to Joe, what did he say to Joe? "Hey, Skip, I'm good for tomorrow."
Good for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Very easily could have said, you know what, my foot, I'm going to take a day.
I haven't paid enough attention to what Council has done with that squad, but I think this is another time to remind fans when you get a little anxious not seeing guys in the lineup or wanting to see them or wondering what Joe's doing, there's a reason Ben Zobrist is playing so well, and it's because of the way Madden has rested him throughout the entire of the year. It's why he gives Daniel Murphy days off, and no one wanted to see him take that game off a few days ago. What was it, game one against the Brewers, right? Labor Day or whatever. And there's a reason, and so I don't know, again, if Council has given Yelich the right amount of time
Murphy
off.
Murphy took game two off.
Two, thank you. And so maybe he's feeling it in places. But, again, it's September. You don't want any of your stars telling you, I'd like to have
five. I need a day.
Are you kidding me?
I just can't imagine Javi or Rizzo or somebody saying that. By the way, I can't get enough
you
of
You see
Javi,
Wilson
by.
Contreras going up and going, hey, man, I need a day. No shot.
No, and that guy has played so many innings. I don't know if there's anyone even close to him as many innings as he's been behind the plate.
As a catcher.
Yeah, keep that in mind when you're at home wondering what's going on with his offense right now. I mean, this guy could just be worn out. I mean, because he's been dealing with this entire pitching staff all season long, trying to get the entire rotation, which has been a mess for them, as well as the bullpen now. He's pointing things out. I know the other day I'm driving, Brandon Kinsler walks up to me after the game. This is the game they win in Milwaukee, and says, mark it down, Wilson fixed me today. Today's the day. And I was like, excuse me, what? Come again? Because it's rare a guy just walks up to you and tells you something like this. And I'm still getting to know Brandon Kinsler. He's fairly new. And he's like, Wilson saw something in my delivery. We looked at video. We went out there today, and I feel already 100 times better. You know, and he did tell me, he's like, I'm not sure yet. Don't take this to air totally, because I want to wait and see how this goes. But for him, I mean, those are the things Wilson Contreras is doing behind the scenes that nobody understands, the hours he's putting in to try and get every single one of these pitchers at their best for this stretch.
But the pass balls have got to stop.
You're right. No
he
doubt.
Has balls and it drops. Does it?
I'm like, get a new glove then. What's going on here?
I thought I was imagining it. I just,
you're
just
right
watching, I was like, is he dropping the ball a lot? Or is it just me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if he's trying to break in a new glove or what it is, but
it has been odd.
That's got to stop. I understand where you're coming from on the offense some.
Just trying to keep in perspective, big picture, all that he's doing right now. So sometimes I try to cut him a little slack when I'm watching that kind of stuff happen. But you're right. He knows it. We all know it. And it has to be better.
All right, let's talk about Chris Bryant, because he looks like he's starting to barrel things up. Mm-hmm. He looks like he's getting back to where he was. Is he a long-term play at third, or is he a long-term play after this season in the outfield?
I still think it's third base. I mean, I like what Bodie does, but I don't know if I'm ready to say he's a full-time third baseman over there. I mean, he's on the roster for sure.
What if Javi Baez is your third baseman next year, and Daniel Murphy's at second, and Addison's at short?
Boy, I don't know. Like, if I'm going to have – if Murphy's going to be my second baseman, I want the best possible shortstop. And for me, that is Javi. I know he doesn't make sometimes – the everyday play that Addison makes, but I would rather have Bryant at third and Javi at short. I don't know what's going to happen with Addison Russell in the offseason, but I mean, that's to be determined at a later date.
I think you have to have Javi Baez at shortstop. I just do, and Dana Murphy. You have to have that glove at either second or short. You just have to, the way Javi plays. And then to what Luke's saying, I like KB. I'll put it this way. I like seeing KB at third better than I do seeing him in the outfield. I don't like the routes I've seen him take. But that's just me. He hasn't played there a lot. You're right. And we've seen the tremendous growth Schwarber's made in 1 year out there. But I'm still a fan of him at third.
All right. So if you look ahead now, Washington, then Milwaukee back in Chicago. Yeah. And everyone says just take it one at a time. That's kind of been my mantra. And I think you guys agree all season. But can you understand from a fan's perspective, they get a little nervous. They get uptight.
Yeah, I mean, it's just over 20 games. It is kind of interesting that it's only two more road trips. Mm-hmm. Because at the end, starting the 21st, you go to the White Sox, but you're home in Chicago sleeping in your own bed from the 21st to the end of the month. That's a great way to finish the season. So go take care of business and use that 21st to the end of the month to to lock up the division and then rest up in your own bed at home.
And exactly what Luke is saying is exactly what these players are thinking. As they, you better believe they have like circled the last 2 weeks of the season thinking, just survive. Survive this 23-23. Get through Washington. Come back home. Get through Milwaukee. Get that day off they so desperately need. They got one more in Arizona, which they'll all say, I like going to the desert. Always like going to the desert. That's a fun trip. Then they come back and they, like Luke says, they really get to settle into home and being home and finishing things off on a strong note. So I think there's a bit of a, let's just survive this kind of thing. Survive, stay above water right now in these last six, and then we bring it home.
Cap, you know what I do like is the White Sox, the crosstown being at the end of the season, because for the first time ever, Sox fans are on the south side thinking, oh man, wouldn't it be sweet to just
Michael
screw
Kopech
their season.
Knock out the Cubs.
And on the other side, north side fans are thinking, man, if we could clinch it on their field, that would be extra sweet. So I think it could be the greatest crosstown series ever, even though the Sox are a rebuilding team. If it gets to that point and it's still close, it's going to be a lot of fun because the Sox
would. And Kopech scheduled to pitch in that series.
It would make Sox fans' entire season.
To knock the Cubs out.
To knock the Cubs out. And Cubs fans would love to, I mean, do it on the Sox.
You mentioned about the trip and how guys are like, give me the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I don't mean like survive, as in more just like, I even heard Rizzo bring it up the other day. We win these, and then we get to technically rest more on the back stretch. Well, but again, one game at a time.
Did you know that a lot of the guys commuted from Chicago to Milwaukee? Like Rizzo, after Monday's game, got in his truck, drove all the way home, had dinner with Emily, slept in his bed, got up and did his radio show with us, got back in the truck, and drove back to Milwaukee.
Funny story about that, coming home that night to get back, so Labor Day, he didn't do the fantasy football draft with everybody else. He had someone else helping him with us so he could hit the road earlier.
Danny Mueller in the clubhouse.
Because he jokingly told me that thank goodness he left while it was still light out because there's so much construction, as many of you know,
worst.
Who make the trip right now on, it's 90-94, am I right? So Waze, this app, but I'm sure many of you listening know of Waze
Google
and the traffic app. He takes Waze, which takes him all these back roads, and he's like, Kelly, I mean, I'm looking at cows and cornfields, and I would have gotten lost had I not driven at least somewhat in the light. And he's like, but I got home in about 2 hours almost, and that's what it was taking everyone anyway. But the next day coming back to the park, he actually left after we did from here to get up there. He got into the clubhouse well after I was there, and he was like, another 2 hours today. So I don't know if he did it the next night, if he drove home or not.
Well,
drive wasn't great.
He said, I'm not good about returning phone calls. He goes, so when I go on a long drive like that, that's when he makes all
catches
the calls.
Up on the call.
He goes, I call everybody that I've had phone messages from. He goes, because I literally get up, work out, eat, take a nap, go to the stadium, play, and now it's late. He goes, the days run one after, but when I get 4 hours in the car, I caught up on all my calls.
That's a great way to do it.
When's the last time you drove to Milwaukee in your life? And there wasn't construction to or from Milwaukee.
Never.
I honestly never. My sister lives there, so we go up there a lot. I can't think of in my entire life
never
ever driving to northern Wisconsin without construction on 94. How is that possible?
It's crazy. So I went with Buck and Guff, and I'm trying to think if George was with us. We went up to interview Bud Selig a few weeks ago. We got caught in that same stupid construction, and it took us off on some road.
Yeah, I
and we're passing farms. And
so
cows.
Okay, so you know what Riz is talking
exactly.
about? Like
yeah,
frontage, you go,
was going home. We
a little
going
frontage
north.
Road. It takes you around some car dealership and some like business. You see the backs of some businesses.
All right, we got to take a timeout. We'll come back. We've got more to do. We got to talk a little bit more about this roster going forward and Brandon Morrow. So we'll have more with Luke, with Kelly, with me. I'm David Kaplan. We'll be right back.
On the go and can't watch the Cubs game? Remember, you can live stream all NBC Sports Chicago games. Download the NBC Sports app or watch it at NBCSportsChicago.com.
All right, welcome back to our Cubs Talk podcast here on NBC Sports Chicago and NBCSportsChicago.com with Kelly Kroll, Luke Stuckmeyer. I'm David Kaplan. Everything is brought to you, as always, by our friends at Wintrust, home of Cubs checking and that sweet WATM card. Okay, Brandon Morrow is not pitched since mid-July. He is a key at the back end. He's been really good. Only blown two saves. but he's got issues with his bicep. And Joe Maddon casually lets it drop before the Wednesday game and says, yeah, we barely have enough time to get him ready. I don't know if he's going to be able to get back. That is a stunner, and that is a big problem.
It's certainly going to make things more challenging down the stretch for Joe Maddon. There's no doubt about it. And I'm actually working on a piece right now, and we'll have this up, Tony Andracki and I, about, because Joe follows that up then. He's asked promptly, you know, can you win a World Series without that designated closer,
which
that bona fide guy?
Year.
Houston did it last year. Joe went on to say, you know, we got really close with the Rays in 2008, and it wasn't the bullpen that cost us that. I mean, they made a lot of defensive mistakes. I am going back through it now, and it's jogging my memory. But it wasn't the bullpen, he said, that cost them. Sure, it makes it more challenging, but he definitely played the matchups game all the way. Very similar, three lefties out of the pen is what they went with. I'm going through right now some of very interesting. I'll put it this way, though. Their bullpen did not walk guys. Did not. And right now, that's something that we're watching, you know, whether it be Strope or if it's Edwards, if it's Wilson, who I think Justin Wilson could be a big key for them down the stretch. I think Brandon Kinsler needs to get it together, and I think he could be a big deal. But that's one thing we've seen from these guys with the Cubs is they will walk guys, and then it gets dicey. So I think it can be done, but yeah, it's a little unnerving to know that Brandon Morrow may
more
not
than
be there.
A little.
Yeah. If there was a red flag or an asterisk to the Morrow signing, it was that he pitched a lot at the end of last season.
And has an injury history.
So that was the red flag. Have teams done it before? Yes. Not that often, though. I do think back to, could they try something like the 03 Marlins did to the Cubs with our friend Todd Hollinsworth's team? They just put the starters on a rotation and started moving them through. You pitched a few innings, then he came out and you were in the – when it was your turn to have a throwing session, that became your bullpen day. Is that possible? I don't know.
I don't know about on a consistent basis, but certainly.
In the postseason.
No, I'm saying maybe not every game, but if you're at a game 5, 6, 7. Yeah.
I mean, if you don't believe in Strope because he has a bad game one day, I'd rather go to that scenario. Well, I mean, when they won the World Series in game 7, you saw guys come in.
Mm-hmm.
John
so,
Lester.
Yeah, you can do it. You can do it late in a series, so it's not. It's not quite as bad. Every team's going to have some sort of Achilles heel at this point in the season, except for maybe the Red Sox.
And they have injuries. They don't even have Chris Sale back.
So everybody's got something. For the Cubs, I think it's pretty clear it's the bullpen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Last year with the Astros, their starters, how deep did they go every game? Because that's the one thing. I go back to 2008, and it's like most of the starters are going six innings. It's none of six.
Well, Verlander
at least
was
seven
going
innings,
seven,
right?
Eight.
Yeah. And so that's where I look at. I mean, and Maddon came right out and said it. You can manage totally different when you've got that Aroldis Chapman or you've got the Wade Davis who you know is back there, and you can say, I need three, I need four, I need five, maybe even six. They don't have that guy.
Outs.
Yes, of
right.
course.
I talked to Don Cooper yesterday.
Not any
right.
outs.
And Don Cooper said that in 2005, he goes, our starters, he goes, we barely went to the bullpen. We pushed our guys, mm-hmm. John Garland and Burley. He said those guys were giving us 8 and 9 innings.
That's true. But when he did go to them, Cliff Polite out of nowhere was like the greatest reliever in the history of baseball.
And then
so
Shingo,
they had guys that just
Justin Hermanson.
Yeah.
Shingo Takatsu. And then they brought in the big wide body, Bobby Jenks, and he was great down the stretch.
So maybe you can try and do something like that. Try and get somebody hot. That said, bullpens are the craziest thing in baseball.
To figure out.
So just because they're terrible at maybe some stretch in September and you're like, oh, you're panicky thing. There's no way they
never
can win a World Series.
Never know what you might have.
Baseball's funky. You never know.
It is.
The hitting might stop and the bullpen might be great. It just varies. That's the ebbs and flows of a baseball season. One month, Anthony Rizzo can't hit it. The next month, he's a superstar again. So we don't know what the bullpen's going to be. On paper, it looks like an Achilles heel.
It does seem bizarre, though, right, that like it was only 2 weeks ago I was talking to Brandon Morrow, and without a doubt, yeah. I'm back. I don't know really what's happened other than, I mean, the Cubs have been very careful with their verbiage every time they talk about him. I think that probably stems from Yu Darvish and all that we were, what do you mean he's feeling tight or he's feeling pain or he's feeling. So they've been very careful to say he has not had a setback to this point. not had a setback. Now, he was pitching off a mound August 18th in his recovery and hasn't done it since. So I don't know what that means. And that's where I'd really like, I mean, we haven't been able to hear. I know yesterday Morrow was throwing again, playing catch, but we didn't get a chance to talk to him after the game. So I'd like to hear from him again, now that, especially now that Madden's come out and said this. Where does he feel like he is from a timeline standpoint? Is there barely just enough? Or are you right on the cusp of coming back and you just, right. it's just
he,
a matter of doing it?
He looked us in the eye and went, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to make it back. Okay.
Yeah.
Or does he go, I don't know what Joe's talking about. I'm that close. I'm almost
because
there.
That's what Drew Smyly said. There was this big difference of
the
recovery process, right? Like the first few times he threw, it was the recovery that he didn't like. But now he's throwing and feeling great the next day. And that's where he said, all of a sudden, it's now I feel like I could be ready to go. And he wants to get back. I don't know
big
what
time.
The Cubs think, but he could be an X factor. Yeah.
All right. In terms of roster, if I said to you, it's September 25th, it's a big game. They're one up. They need a victory here. What lineup are you running out there?
Ooh. I guess it. I mean,
regardless of the pitcher.
Yeah, but that's really the factor, isn't it, though?
Okay,
it depends.
It's Kyle Hendricks.
It's Kyle Hendricks. He likes to put the ball in play. Mm-hmm. So I want my best defensive team out there more than I want the big thumpers.
Okay, so who are you playing?
So Bryant at third.
Really?
Javi at short.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you've...
No matter what, Daniel Murphy has to
Daniel
start.
Murphy has,
he has to
he's
start.
Gotta be at second.
No.
Rizzo at first, then your outfield. Hayward if he's healthy.
Hayward
is
and
where?
In
right
healthy.
Or center?
In right.
Okay. Almora's in center. Schwarby in left.
That's the question.
Okay, see,
or,
I'm okay.
Or do I put
Zobrist?
I might
I'm
put
okay
Zobrist. I actually
putting,
put Zobrist out there. I think.
I was just gonna say I'm okay with putting Zobrist in
Zobrist
right and
or left, right. Yeah.
And
right.
Putting
see, I'm going
Hayward
either,
in center.
Either corner. I'm
going
okay
Zobrist right, Hayward if he's healthy, center.
Okay.
Chris Bryant in left.
You're going Bryant left.
David Bote at third. Javi, okay. Murphy, Rizzo, Contreras.
If it's Hendricks. I mean, I think if they get to the postseason, you're going to see a different lineup in almost every game they play.
I asked Joe Maddon that yesterday. I said, at what point, and I don't know that I phrased it right, my actual question was, at what point do you play your best every day? But my point was, at what point does the rest no longer matter, right? You're not trying to yeah pace guys anymore. You're putting your best lineup out every day. And he was like, truthfully, I feel like I do that even because of the way I match guys up. So I'm with you guys in that. I think one day we could see Schwarber out there, but then the next day we could see your lineup.
Okay, what name that's currently playing a lot
mm-hmm
will not make the playoff roster if they make the postseason?
That's playing a lot that might not make the postseason. Ian Happ?
Very possible.
It's hard for me to say that, but yeah, I mean, it's possible because they got other guys they can use in center.
Because I don't see it being Addison Russell if he's healthy, because he's defensively good enough that, hey, we could put Javi at second,
Addy
at short, late
yeah
in the game if they
Addison
have the lead.
Russell and short at the end of the game, yeah.
Yeah.
He's the only one, though. What do you think? And they're going to have to carry as many
tough
arms as they can.
Tough decisions.
That's
and that's
tough decision.
Normally I would have said one of those extra guys is on there, but now knowing that Morrow might not be there, they might be more inclined to carry another arm.
Yeah.
Correct. So that's probably 12 pitchers in a
yeah
five-game series. 12 gives you 13 guys, 8 start and 5 bench. A catcher, an Addison Russell, a Schwarber if he's not in the everyday lineup, or an Almora. I mean, there's not a lot of wiggle room there, folks.
Nope. It's going to be real interesting if they get there. I just hope they have those problems.
Exactly.
I mean, hey, that's what you hope for. You hope to have a blessing of great players that you can put in different spots.
I talked to a scout friend of mine this morning,
mm-hmm,
who I actually went to high school with, and he was a longtime cross-checker for the Astros. And he goes, I'll be honest with you, I've watched all the teams. He goes, there's a lot of great teams. He goes, there's no team as deep as the Chicago Cubs. He goes, that's the deepest team I've scouted.
I believe
crazy
it. I believe it. It's, but still, are you happy with your the starters you're running out every day? I mean, in comparison to other teams, and
if
are you
I get
happy
what
with
I got from Quintana on Wednesday night in Milwaukee?
What starter is he for you?
Four.
Okay.
Not even close. It's Lester, Hamels,
Lester's
Hendricks,
your game one?
Probably, okay. Depending where we're at the end of the month. Lester, Hamels, Hendricks, or Lester, Hendricks, Hamels, Quintana's four starters.
So you're putting Montgomery in the bullpen,
yeah,
for sure.
100%.
Could you make him could you try him as a closer?
He doesn't have swing and miss stuff.
I know, that's the problem. But I feel more comfortable with him on the mound than some of the other guys late in the game.
I think if it's me, I'm either closing with Strope or I'm closing with Justin Wilson.
He was on the mound when they won the World Series.
He was. He was facing Michael Martinez.
I'm just saying.
That was like facing me.
Yeah.
I think he's the guy I think he's your bridge guy. I do. I just think that's who you got to – Montgomery, is your bridge guy. Closing, I think you're going to see Strope and, like you said, Justin Wilson quite a bit. But I do not count out Jesse Chavez. That guy, from what he gave up, I know, the last game in Milwaukee, but that is an anomaly. This guy's been probably the best reliever down the stretch of any of them out there.
Okay, last question. Has anyone had a poorer offseason – than the Cubs, and a better in-season?
That's a good point.
They went Chatwood, Darvish, and
Morrow.
And Morrow got nothing, basically. Morrow gave them a good half season. That's it. And they paid a fortune for the total. Paid close to $200 million for that. And then in-season, Chavez, Hamels, Daniel Murphy.
I mean, it's and Bodhi coming from the minor league system.
It's been unbelievable.
It's crazy.
All major players in what they've been doing.
So you're asking if anyone else has had that? I can't think of anybody.
I cannot think of a team in baseball that had a poorer offseason in terms of result.
Those guys, the guys you named are the only reason the Cubs are still in first place.
Agreed.
Without those guys doing what they're doing, they're in second place.
The only move they made in the offseason that you go, that was a winner, Steve Cishek.
Oh, yeah.
Huge move.
He's been great.
So
doesn't matter how you get there.
Just get there, kid.
Yep. Gosh, I will say if you'd ask me, early April, knowing what I'd seen in spring training and early games and knowing what that roster could be like when it came together, this is not how I could have ever dreamt this season would unfold.
No
That's
way.
That's what's so crazy about
baseball.
If I
laid all this
baseball.
Stuff out to you, none of us would have thought
well, you know
be
what?
Where
Without
they
those guys, they could be the Dodgers on the outside looking in because of injuries this year.
You're right.
Very true.
Guys, thank you.
Good stuff.
A lot of fun. Always love it. All right, that is our Cubs Talk podcast. Make sure you follow us at NBCSportsChicago.com. Follow us on Twitter. For Kelly, for Luke, I'm Cap. Everything brought to you by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking. See you next time.